Scott McKay is away this week. Instead, we're joined by the digital reporter for WPRI.com, Dan McGowan. Thanks for joining us, Dan.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Councilor Salvatore, we've had Mayor Jorge Loresa in here, and the mayor's been very optimistic about the city's ability to face its difficult financial challenges. He says the stakes are so high that public officials will come together. But is the mayor being too rosy? I mean, it seems like these challenges are really tough, and the tough choices are yet to be made.
The city now has a 10-year plan in front of them, and it will be the responsibility of this administration and the city council to carry forward many, if not all, of the recommendations that came out of that plan. I don't want to paint a rosy picture of the city of Providence's finances. I think we can all agree that there are challenges ahead. That is why it is imperative that moving forward from this day forward, consistent with what we did during our first term, that we are managing our finances and the city's budget responsibly.
Do you think there will be enough consensus among the mayor and the council to tackle these challenges?
I think that's probably our biggest area of opportunity, is creating more communication between this administration and the city council, not only the city council majority, but all 15 city council members. I'm looking forward to working with the mayor. I did call for the 10-year plan early on in 2015. I'm glad he followed through on that. We were able to receive some grant money at the federal level. It will be important now to collaborate efforts both from the administration and with the legislative body in Providence.
When you look at these 10-year plans and these ideas that everyone, whether it's the city council or the mayor's office, talk about, one of the things that really sticks out is there are really two ways to address the city's long-term finances: an infusion of cash or going after retirement benefits. So from your perspective, they're both painful things to do. What do you see as an actual option? Is it selling the water supply board? Is it going after retiree benefits?
Well, I think we're going to have to look at the 10-year plan and speak with all of the stakeholder groups who might be affected by any changes that are implemented or proposed by the administration. You know, as far as, you know, the water supply board, that will need state approval. Again, we're going to have to collaborate as a city with legislators at the State House and the governor, if that's the plan. I haven't spoken with the administration about that. I don't know if that's in the cards. There was a very tenacious fight between the administration and the firefighters, okay? And it was probably something that could have been handled better. However, I am happy to see that the two sides did come together. I haven't seen all the details of the agreement, but that tells me that that there is opportunity for the city and its stakeholders to at least converse in the short term and start creating some plans for the sustainability of our city.
Councilor Salvatore, you've been pretty outspoken in criticizing some of your colleagues on the council, including Council President Luisa Ponte. Now, there might be constituents who welcome your candor, but we also have to wonder, has that really marginalized your influence on the city council?
No, I don't think it has marginalized my influence. There are several of my colleagues and I who have been outspoken relative to some of the political maneuvers that the city council majority has created over the last 2 years. And it's okay to disagree. I understand politics. I'm a big boy. During my first term on the city council, I was in a quote-unquote leadership position. But I do not agree with the shenanigans and the political maneuvering that this city council majority has conducted over the last 2 years. I think the taxpayers in the city deserve better, and they deserve an apology, especially around the issues regarding the bond.
You mentioned the firefighters before. A 5-year deal contract is on the table right now, and some of your colleagues have been critical of the fact that that contract doesn't necessarily have the appropriate changes long term, particularly around pensions and contributing more, potentially waiting longer. Does that give you concern about voting for a 5-year contract, which essentially would complete your term in office if you were reelected? Does that give you pause to vote on something like that?
So, as you know, I chaired the subcommittee that studied the pension system back in 2012, and we made some substantial changes to the system to stabilize the city's finances at the time. You know, a 5-year agreement, it's unprecedented. That I'll be honest with you. I haven't looked at all of the details yet. However, I am looking forward to the department testifying before the City Council's Finance Committee and hearing what they have to say. Knowing what I do about the city's pension system, back to your earlier point, Dan, it is on the retiree side that's increasing that unfunded liability. For years, you know, administrations have level funded the pension system, which has, again, increased the unfunded liabilities. So, you know, we'll look at all aspects of the retirement system. Do I think changes should be made? I would have to look at an actual aerial study to better answer that.
Providence State Rep. John Carnevale is not seeking re-election after the Board of Canvassers found that he is not a legal resident of Providence. But for better or worse, John Carnevale was a very influential force for Providence at the General Assembly. So is his absence going to diminish the city's influence in the legislature?
I don't think it will diminish our influence in the legislature. I think there's an opportunity for the administration and the city council to connect with legislators who make decisions at the State House and just have conversations with them about what the needs of the city are and what they can do to assist us. Look, we're going to be asking reps and senators moving forward to have a bigger voice on what our needs are. And I understand that, you know, a lot of the decisions that are made impact the entire state. However, there is a delegation in Providence who we will be asking to help us out moving forward.
Just to follow up on that, there will very likely be a new House Majority Leader. And John DeSimone, of course, is from Providence. You have been a council member when Gordon Fox was the Speaker from Providence. Do you want to see a Providence representative in the top two posts in the General Assembly?
I think it would be helpful. However, folks at the State House know that we are a city state, and it's important for Providence to be successful. Businesses outside of the state of Rhode Island are looking at Providence and the state as a whole, hopefully to expand their business or open their business. We still have the vacant 195 land. So again, you know, as Providence goes, so goes the state. I know it's cliche, but whether there's a Providence majority leader or a majority leader outside of the capital city, I hope that individual recognizes the importance of Providence.
Councillor Salvatore, you're serving your second term on the city council. What's your plan for 2018? Do you plan to seek re-election?
At this point, I do plan to seek re-election. I will keep all options open at that time.
What other options might there be?
Again, whatever presents itself. 2018 is a long ways away, okay? So at the moment, I am focusing on my current term on the city council and representing the folks of the 14th Ward. I do get involved with neighborhoods and organizations outside of my neighborhood because I think all of our organizations have an impact on the city as a whole. So it's important that I do spend time not only in the 14th Ward, but in neighborhoods outside of Providence.
Councilman, the Providence school system takes up more than half of the city budget, and yet folks routinely say they don't think they get enough out of their school department. Results don't work. The schools really struggle. And there's been this growing conversation, I think, at the State House and in the Department of Education about potentially some sort of intervention in the Providence school system. Do you think it's appropriate for maybe the state to step in and try to take over some of the lowest performing schools in Rhode Island or Providence?
We have a new superintendent in Chris Marr, and I have the utmost confidence in Chris's ability to turn our school system around. I share many of the concerns that you mentioned. I want to give Superintendent Marr the opportunity to implement some of the ideas that he presented to us when he was first hired.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us from WPRI.com, Dan McGowan.
Thank you.
And Providence's Ward 14 Councilor, David Salvatore.
Thank you.